Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, August 21st, 2013, and today we're talking about Egypt, war in Egypt, at least Egypt on the edge of war, fighting spreading across Egypt now with about 1,000 people dead in this most recent fighting. It seems to be growing by the day. As we've said before in our discussions of Egypt, Egypt is a very interesting country, a very poor country. It has three things now going for it to fuel this unrest, in addition to the religious difficulties and so forth. Number one, as I said, an extremely poor country with most people surviving on $1 a day or less in equivalent money. It is also a city where most of the population live in the cities, crowded into the cities, especially Cairo, but also the other cities, because the rest of Egypt, the vast majority of the country, trackless, uninhabitable desert. So the population's steaming in the crowded cities. Number three, a very young population and a very poor, unemployed population. That is a mix that is very, very volatile, all steaming in these cities. Cairo now, basically a war zone. And to make matters worse, an Egyptian court just recently ordered the release of Hosni Mubarak, former Army officer, Air Force officer, I should say, who ruled Egypt for decades before Mohamed Morsi was elected. This is going to fuel the outrage of the Muslim Brotherhood even more if Mr. Mubarak is released without charges. Egypt, as I said, seems on the verge of dissolving into full-scale civil war. And what would this mean? What would it entail? Well, number one, Egypt controls one of the world's most important waterways, the Suez Canal. About 35 to 45 U.S. Fifth Fleet ships pass through the Suez each year, including carrier battle groups. Just a couple of days ago, the USS Harry Truman strike carrier and its battle group passed through the Suez Canal on its way to relieve the Nimitz in the Persian Gulf, providing airstrike capability all over the Middle East, including Afghanistan. The Suez Canal cuts sailing time from London to the Persian Gulf by 43%. That is a considerable saving. 7% of all seaborne oil in the world passed through the Suez Canal. Do you think that might affect the price of oil if it were closed? Egypt, an important base for U.S. military operations in the entire Middle East. Last year alone, more than 2,000 U.S. warplanes used Egypt. Egypt is also a very important political and cultural center to the Arab world. The Muslim Brotherhood originated in Egypt. Civil war in Egypt would undoubtedly then spill over throughout the entire Persian Gulf region, if not the entire Middle East. The price of oil would skyrocket. Egypt is very, very important to the United States. So what is the Obama administration doing about it? The U.S. gives Egypt about $1.3 billion per year in military aid and an additional $250 million in economic aid, according to an article yesterday in the Commercial Appeal, the Memphis newspaper. The Obama administration is considering halting the $250 million in economic aid, but not the $1.3 billion in military aid, although they said they might hold up temporarily at least on the delivery of four new F-16 fighter jets. Why? Why not the $1.3 billion? Well, they say the reason is because Benghazi, you remember Benghazi Gate, the sacrifice of the four people in Benghazi, including the U.S. ambassador, has put fear into the administration, fear that significant cuts in military aid would prompt Egypt's generals to pull back protection of U.S. embassies and diplomats. We are held for ransom, in other words. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says the U.S. doesn't want to do anything to endanger diplomats. At a recent news conference, he said, quote, "We are concerned about our people." Well, I guess Mr. Hagel gets a pass on this thing because he wasn't in office when the mission in Benghazi was abandoned and those people were left to die. But now it seems he presides over an office ruled by fear, a very bad, very dangerous emotion for the Department of Defense. Fear seems to have permeated this administration. What should we do then? What should we do now? Well, that's a tough one, a very tough one, considering what's at stake there. But if the U.S. Constitution had been followed many, many years ago, there would be no foreign aid to question, and there would be no army in Afghanistan to worry about. But it seems it is far too late for that right now. That's the way I see it, folks. Wednesday, August 21st, 2013. Until next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.